Oh my goodness. You know, I don't know where was Raw tonight. I don't think I heard. Did they mention where Raw was tonight? I don't think they told me. I do believe though that they were in my backyard. Raw was at Madison Square Garden in New York City. You know, the last time that they had a steel cage match live on television from Madison Square Garden, Seth Rollins was in that match. And Seth Rollins was in that match 10 years ago against John Cena. John Cena was not on the show tonight. Seth Rollins was, and he was back in the cage, only tonight he was in the cage with his arch nemesis. He was in the cage with CM Punk. And they went out there. Now it's tough because we just had a cage match the other night. Last night, in fact. 24 hours ago, we had a cage match at Revolution where they did everything that you could possibly do. And there was blood and there was all kinds of gore and there were all kinds of crazy stuff. And so now I have to sit here and watch a completely different kind of cage match. And it's a little jarring to go from one to the other because, yeah, there might be some people comparing the two, but really two totally different beasts from, as far as what we saw last night. But they went in there tonight and they had what was an excellent match. And honestly, that match is what saved the show for me because I really didn't think the first 90 minutes or so of this show was all that good. I would say the last 30 plus minutes, 30 or so, is what really saved it. And it really had a lot to do with that main event. But you knew, you had to know, when this match was announced last week, you had to know that this was going to set up the return of Roman Reigns. It was just too perfect. The reason that we didn't see Roman Reigns at the Elimination Chamber is because they didn't want to pin him. Can't be in the chamber unless he's going to win and not get pinned or beaten in some way. So they saved him from having to take a loss there in that match. And this was tailor-made for him to make a return and go after Seth Rollins after what Rollins did to him at the Royal Rumble. So these guys beat the hell out of each other. They kept kicking out of each other's finishing. I mean, the finisher spam in this main event, we get finisher spam all the time these days, but this was just, I mean, this was just beyond. But they're beating the hell out of each other. And sure enough, we didn't get the fancy entrance. We didn't get any of that. We got the return of Roman Reigns, who reaches into the cage and pulls Seth Rollins out of the cage to the floor, thus giving Seth Rollins the win. And then he proceeds to beat the hell out of Seth Rollins. And he gives him a stomp on the floor. And he was going to give him a stomp on the stairs until Adam Pearce and everybody ran out to stop him. And the most intriguing part of this is that it didn't end there. Because we see in the ring, in the cage, consoling CM Punk, checking up on his good friend, is Paul Heyman. And that brings Roman Reigns back into the cage, and Roman proceeds to lay a beat down on CM Punk for good measure. And we have the wise man, when the show is over, hands clasped together like this, looking as terrified as ever, as Roman Reigns throws up the ones. And that is how Monday Night Raw went off the air tonight. And so now we have our setup for what I think most of us imagined that this was going to end up being, which is going to be a triple threat match coming up at WrestleMania. There's going to be a lot of questions about the favor and does that come into play? I think it does, honestly. And while I would like to think that they have something a little more clever in mind for it, it would seem to me that what we may be in for is as early as next week, we may get the announcement of a WrestleMania match between Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. And CM Punk may well use that favor from Paul Heyman to get himself worked into the match to make it a triple threat match at WrestleMania. Now, that would seem kind of lame, but I could see that being what the favor ultimately is used for because it's clear as day now. All three of these men now have issues with each other. Seth Rollins and CM Punk, they don't like each other. And the finish of the match tonight, Roman got involved, so we didn't even have a real clear-cut winner between the two of them, even though Rollins had the match won. So they still have beef. Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins have issues going back years, but at least going as far back as the Royal Rumble after what Seth did to him. This was his revenge tonight. Now Rollins is going to want to get his hands on Roman. So they have issues. Roman and Punk, after what we saw at the end of the show tonight, Punk's not going to let that stand. You think Punk is going to let that stand where Roman comes in and beats the shit out of him? He's going to be like, okay, I guess I had it coming. So now they all have issues with each other. honestly, I don't even see the need for him to have to cash the favor in for that, because all he has to do is come out on TV and say, Roman Reigns, you got involved in my business. I want a piece of you at WrestleMania. And they can make a triple threat match that way. But that's what it kind of feels like to me, that the favor may come into play for that. What they did tonight was they set up not one, and neither of these are official yet, but what they did tonight was they set up not one, but two triple threat matches for WrestleMania. That one is very likely, Roman, Rollins, and Punk. But on the women's side, they had a segment with Io Sky, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Ripley. Clearly going to set up a triple threat match for the Women's World Championship at WrestleMania. I'm not the biggest fan of them setting up two triple threat matches. I understand why they're likely going to end up doing it. I actually think at this point it's the right move to make. But had they taken different steps to get to where they are now, we could have gotten some, you know, pretty awesome singles matches on that show. Even if they did one of these as a triple threat, like, that would be fine. To do two of them, though, as triple threats, I don't know. I just feel like the stronger matches to do would have been Rhea and Bianca one-on-one, Roman and Punk one-on-one, which is a match that has never been done before, and people would be very excited to see that for the first time. Now, we'll get it at some point. You know, SummerSlam or whenever. We'll get it at some point. We'll get Roman and Punk one-on-one, even if they, you know, mix it up in a three-way at WrestleMania. But those would have been the stronger matches to do. But where we are now, you almost have to do it this way. Because Io Sky, well, obviously Io Sky now is the champion, so she's going to be in the match no matter what. But even before she won the title, Io Sky was sort of the odd woman out. She had no other obvious role on the WrestleMania card this year. Io Sky is fucking awesome. And Io Sky is also over. And so she deserves to be in a prime position at WrestleMania, and now she is, because she's going to be the champion, as she was last year. She's going to be the champion going into this show. So I'm happy for her, and she's going to make that match better. As great as the match would have been with Rhea and Bianca, you drop in Io Sky, and the quality of that match is not going to dip. Okay, let's put it that way. So you're going to get a better match out of it. On the men's side, like I just said, they have now established that all three of these men, Roman, Rollins, and Punk, they all have issues. They're all intertwined now. And also, you know, you drop CM Punk into a match with Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, it's not going to make the match worse, you know, and it'll actually make the match more compelling because you have the Paul Heyman element, which I figured would be safe for a singles match, right? Paul's sort of in the middle. Now you got Rollins in there, but it's the same dynamic where you got Paul Heyman. Where does his allegiance lie? If he's out there at WrestleMania and Punk and Roman are in the ring together, who's he rooting for? Right? He was consoling Punk at the end of the show tonight. He was more interested in making sure that CM Punk was okay, his friend. So at WrestleMania, as much as the drama will be around all three men, the drama will also involve Paul Heyman and who he's going to side with. You know, whose corner really is he going to be in, if any, at WrestleMania? So the way things have been established, you have to do it this way. You have to. Seth Rollins, like Io Sky, you can't leave him off to the side. He's too important of a player, especially in-ring, to just be cast aside for WrestleMania this year. He needs to be a part of this. He may end up coming out of that match as the winner. I would say right now, if you were to ask me who the early favorite is to win that match at WrestleMania, the answer is Seth Rollins. I almost see Roman and Punk canceling each other out and then coming out of WrestleMania at some point. We get that singles match. So Rollins has to be in there. Just like Io has to be in her match. Neither one of these made official yet. I would expect that by next week, as early as next week, at least one of them will probably be made official. Now, also on the show tonight, we had the WWE champion, Cody Rhodes. He was on SmackDown on Friday night. His first promo since John Cena kicked him in the balls, and he got the hell beat out of him at Elimination Chamber, and Travis Scott busted his eardrum. And he cut a promo on Friday night. I thought it was good. I thought it struck the right tone. I kind of described it almost as like a silent rage, you know, when he was out there. And so he comes out tonight. And this is the problem when you have someone who isn't around. And John Cena right now is not around. He's not going to be around until next week. He'll be on Raw next Monday, but he was not there tonight. He's not going to be on SmackDown this Friday. You're basically coming out and cutting promos and you have nobody to bounce off of. It's the same issue that Kevin Owens had going into WrestleMania a few years ago, where he was cutting all these promos on Stone Cold Steve Austin, but Austin wasn't there. And in fact, I think on the entire road to WrestleMania that year, Austin sent in one video promo, and that was it. Otherwise, it was all Owens, right? Owens had to sell that on his, and it wasn't even a match, really, but Owens had to sell that on his own, right? Inviting him to come on the KO show. We had it years ago with John Cena, when The Undertaker wasn't around. And he kept challenging The Undertaker every single week, and The Undertaker wouldn't show up. So he said, well, I'm going to go to WrestleMania. I'm going to be a fan in the crowd. And if The Undertaker shows up, then he shows up. When you have that kind of match, it's tough. Because half the fun is the journey to get there. We got 6 weeks of build yet to go until we get to Las Vegas. That's half the fun right there. So it's tough when you don't have Cena, you don't have Rock. It's just Cody coming out and cutting promos. He came out and cut a very similar promo to the way or the one that he did on Friday. I thought it was good. Had a lot of fire. Didn't really say anything too terribly different from what he said on Friday. Nothing is really going to happen until we get John Cena on the show. Once we get heel John Cena on TV, everything changes. We don't know what version of heel Cena we're going to get. We don't know. I mean, God forbid he comes out on Raw next week, and it's one of these heel things where I don't owe you an explanation. He says like five words and he leaves. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's tough. You know, when he's not on the show, there's only so much you can do. It's just not going to be interesting until we get him on the show, and he wasn't there tonight. Like I said, the first 90 minutes or so of this show really wasn't that good, but the last half hour or so really made the show. That main event was excellent. So let's talk about this show, because this is your Raw on Netflix review for Monday, March 10th, 2025. I am the Sala Monster. So let's get into the show here. They were at Madison Square Garden. And normally when they go to MSG, they block off a certain portion of the building, and so they can get 14,000, 15,000. Well, tonight, they tried to get as many people in this building as they possibly could. They had that special stage where it's very basic, scaled down, and you could see the fans over the entranceway. They used this for some of their PLEs, and I actually really like that look. So they were able to fit more people in. They claimed, I think, over 20,000 is what they were claiming. It was somewhere in the 18,000 to 20,000 range. If it wasn't 20,000 legit, they weren't too far off from that. So it was packed in the building tonight. And Jey Uso was the first face that we saw once we went live. He was on the concourse, sort of walking through the fans, and he made his entrance for the opening match. Yes, they are going to be at MSG. Thank you, Ricky. They're going to be at MSG. Well, not MSG proper, but they're going to be at the theater at Madison Square Garden tomorrow night for NXT Roadblock. That's why you saw they were showing all of the NXT folks in the crowd, like Oba Femi they showed, and they showed Julia, and they showed Stephanie Vicaire. They're all in town because they're all going to be on that Roadblock show tomorrow night. But Jey Uso was up first. Jey Uso against Grayson Waller. This was a very basic match, and it's not going to help his case with any of the people out there who love to say that Jey is not a main event level performer and who are worried about the kind of match he's going to go out there and have with Gunther at WrestleMania. Because this match here, again, I don't think this was designed to be some sort of a banger match, but that's definitely not what this was. Austin Theory climbed up on the apron late. He got super kicked by Jey, who then speared Waller and pinned him. And when the match was over, Waller and Theory, they attacked Jey. Jey sent Waller to ringside. He speared Theory. And Jey followed that up with an Uso splash. And so he was standing tall. But Gunther, the world heavyweight champion, sneaks up from behind him. Not the first time we've seen him do this. And he locked Jey in a sleeper hold until he faded. And it wasn't Jey standing tall at the end of this. It was Gunther. Yet again, putting Jey Uso down to close this segment. Now, after the break, Alpha Academy, they walked into the trainer's room. Jey had an ice pack on his neck. And they walked in, and Otis said, look, we got your back next time. Like, next time? What about this time? Where were you guys tonight? Obviously, they were there. Otis was in his gear. They were just watching. Next time. We got you. Don't worry. We got your back next time, he said. Yeah, honestly, I think part of the reason that the Jay and Gunther stuff feels less than right now. First of all, everything is going to feel less than compared to John Cena going heel. John Cena going heel and this story with him and Cody and The Rock takes center stage over all else. I don't care what brand, I don't care if it's Roman, if it's Punk, if, whoever. That's going to be the top story and the top match going into WrestleMania, no matter what. So that doesn't help. But I think, and it really hit me when I was watching this segment. Look, I know that people like Otis. And Alpha Academy as a whole, right? People like them. And they do get a reaction when they go out there. But the reality is that they are not booked as a top-flight faction in this company. They are a mid-card act. And they don't win very many matches. Okay, they're basically a loser group in the mid-card on TV. And we see Jey Uso, who proclaims to be the future world heavyweight champion at WrestleMania, the man that's going to go in there and beat Gunther and go to the main event of WrestleMania. And he's palling around with a mid-card group that mostly loses. Right? I don't care how popular they may be. The fans might like them. Sure, they're likable, but they still are what they are. And it's just weird that he's supposed to be positioned as a top guy on this brand, and he's hanging out with people who are anything but. And I don't think that helps. I think that's part of the problem, to be perfectly honest with you. No hate on Otis. Again, Otis is cool and all, but Jey Uso hanging out with him. You know what? It feels like Jey Uso is headed into a mid-card match at WrestleMania. When I see this, that's what it feels like. So we go into the next segment. We got Logan Paul, and the fans at Madison Square Garden did not like Logan Paul. Then again, what city does like Logan Paul, right? He gets heat pretty much everywhere. He gets heat in his own hometown when he comes out. So as he's walking down the aisle, he ripped the shirt off of a clearly planted fan in the audience, a shirt that said, "I hate Logan Paul." And he got a shit ton of heat here in MSG. He said his name was associated with people like The Rock and John Cena, who transcended the business, and they would do anything to reach the top. That's why he was shocked that Cody Rhodes turned down The Rock. Said it took Cena 20 years to realize that nice guys finish last. And he said, "Hey, Rock, I just want you to know my soul is for sale." I think he sold his soul a long time ago. So then he looks over and he calls out Andrew Schultz, who apparently is a comedian with a Netflix special, and he was in the front row. He looked a lot like Simon Gotch. I saw him at first. I said, "Oh, look, Simon Gotch is back." So he wanted to know, he went outside, he was going to interview him now, right? Logan Paul's going to be the interviewer. And he wanted to know who he was there to see. And I, first person I noticed, was he sitting or standing? I think he was sitting next to Schultz was Mark Shapiro, the COO of Endeavor. He was sitting there. And Schultz said, "Well, I'm here to see the Steel Cage match. I'm here to see CM Punk and Seth Rollins." And everybody cheered. He said, "No one in New York was there to see Logan Paul." And he goes, "We're a real city, unlike Cleveland. We're here to see real wrestlers." And then he also said he wanted to see AJ Styles. And everybody cheered. So Logan didn't like that. And he yanked Schultz over the barricade. And he threw him into the ring. And Mark Shapiro, the chief operating officer of the parent company of WWE, was so appalled by this man putting his hands on this celebrity, putting his hands on this fan, that he was smiling and laughing throughout this entire thing. So Logan was about to hit his finish on Schultz when AJ Styles ran out. This all ended with him delivering a phenomenal forearm to Logan Paul, who rolled out of the ring. Styles got on the mic. He told him, "Get back into the ring." He kept yelling, "This is New York City. This is New York City." And Logan just kept walking to the back. And so Styles held up Schultz's hand. He repeated the same thing. "This is New York City." And they played AJ's music to end the segment. So Logan got great heat here in this segment. That's number one. Okay, whatever you think about the guy, I will always give him credit for being a great athlete. He has picked up this whole pro wrestling thing faster than most people do, right? There are certain people that are just freak athletes. Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar. They took to pro wrestling like a duck to water. Logan Paul is not an Olympic gold medalist. Logan Paul was not an NCAA wrestling champion. But Logan Paul is a tremendous athlete who picked this up. And not just the in-ring, but he gets it, right? He picked this up a lot faster than most people do. And I will always give him credit for that. And he knows how to go out there and get under people's skin. And he knows how to get heat. And he did that very well here tonight. He didn't even have to say much. He just got incredible heat walking out in front of everybody. AJ Styles, of course, is beloved. So he came out and got a great reaction. And so clearly they are setting this up, I would imagine, as a WrestleMania match. And it's actually, it's a perfect match. I think these two, I don't believe these two have ever been in the ring together. And it's going to be a first time ever match. For AJ, he's not in the world title picture right now. It's not his time, right? He's not part of that rotation right now. What else would he be doing at WrestleMania? You could put him in an intercontinental title match, maybe with Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker is really positioned on the babyface side now. I don't think they want to do that match. It's the reason why I don't think we're going to get Breakker and Penta. Not unless they take all of these guys and just put them in some big 5 or 6 way match. That just does not seem to be the direction right now for him at WrestleMania. So what the hell else would AJ be doing? He got traded to Raw. Honestly, I can't think of a bigger match for him, realistically, on this show other than Logan Paul. Logan Paul's perfect. And it keeps Logan away from the key top players who, frankly, I don't want to see him in the ring with at WrestleMania this year. There are better matches to be done. Hence, AJ and Logan Paul. I like it. I think that's the right match for both guys. Oh, the other thing also, I just wanted to also mention this. I mentioned Andrew Schultz, right? So he gets dragged into this angle. AJ's in the ring with him celebrating when the segment is over. The best thing I could say about this guy, at least he didn't get on the microphone and tell all of us that the one thing he learned about pro wrestlers is that they know the finish before their match even begins. So that's a plus. At least that's a plus. He didn't get on the microphone and do that. Thank you, Andrew. We have the New Day. They came out for their Tornado tag team match with Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee. They went to a commercial break before the LWO even entered. So that meant New Day had to be out there. They cut this promo during the commercial break, trying to get heat from the crowd. And so they heeled on the Jets, and they heeled on the Knicks to try to get cheap heat. And it was very sad watching them. They were hitting these lines, these zingers, right, about the Knicks and everything. This did not get the kind of heat that you would imagine, right? There were some people who booed, but like this did not get the level of heat that you would expect. And they were barely getting even half the heat that they were getting 3 months ago. So it was very sad. But it was Tornado rules, so all four men in the ring at once, Ray and Dragon Lee, they started to pull a table out from underneath the ring early on. Kofi and Woods, they stopped them and shoved the table back under the ring. But the LWO battled back, and they set a table up on the outside of the ring on the floor. Lee put Kingston on his shoulders while he was standing on the apron. Ray set up for a move. Kofi, though, escaped, took him out, while Woods tripped up Dragon Lee. And the New Day ran Ray into the ring steps. They double power bombed Dragon Lee on the floor outside. That took us into the commercial break. There was a cool spot later on where all four men were on the ropes in the corner. Mysterio jumped from the top rope on one side to pull Xavier Woods off the top rope on another side with a Hurricanrana. Dragon Lee had Kingston, meanwhile, upside down in a tree of woe, and so he came off with a double stomp, covered him, only got a near fall. Dragon Lee then used a Hurricanrana to pull Woods from the apron, and the idea was that Dragon Lee was going to pull him off the apron, and Xavier Woods would go crashing through the table that they had set up on the floor earlier on. He grazed the table, but he clipped it. But he clipped it enough, the table did break. Like, there was a perfect break down the middle of the table, but it didn't completely collapse. So after Woods hit the floor, he took his arm and he kind of draped his arm over the table, and then it broke. And since the table technically did break, it got a big pop from the crowd. So Ray hit Kingston with a 619. He went for the follow-up frog splash. Kofi got his knees up. Kingston then hooked Ray into a pin. Dragon Lee broke it up. Lee clotheslined Kofi to the floor and then hit him with a flip dive out over the top rope. When all of a sudden, we had a mystery luchador in a hoodie and an American flag inspired mask who showed up at ringside. And I thought, it's Rey Fénix. This is Rey Fénix's Raw debut. Look at this guy. And it's like, no, it's not Rey Fénix. It was not Rey Fénix. It was Chad Gable. And Michael Cole and Pat McAfee, they had to play stupid. Who is this man? Who is this person? I have no idea who this person could be. And then the mystery luchador, he even gave Rey Mysterio the Chad Gable stalling German suplex on the floor. And then the best part about this entire thing was he stands up, he's up against the barricade, he's wearing this stupid mask. I think he even had like little, it looked like cat ears or something, right? That was on the mask. And he goes, gracias! And then he got grabbed by security. They pulled him over the barricade into the crowd. He broke free and he ran. Like he just ran away from them. But like he was running and running and running. And so he got away from them. Michael Cole did notice that the mask had American made written on it. And so then he figured out who it was. McAfee continued to play dumb. Back in the ring, New Day hit their up, up, down, down finish, which is the old demolition decapitation, only with a double stomp off the top instead of an elbow. And they picked up the win. I'm sad about one thing. After that segment last week where he was roaming the streets of Mexico, I was hoping that we might get a couple more weeks of vignette, like Lucha Underground style vignettes with Chad Gable. But I guess he got the box handed to him last week, and obviously he was pulling a mask out of it, so I guess he got what he wanted. So we're not getting any more vignettes with him. That's the only thing that makes me sad. I'm just looking at this guy and I'm just laughing. Yeah, how could you not be amused by Lucha Gable? And so now I look ahead and I'm like, with New Day getting the win here, because they did beat the LWO in this match, so the LWO is going to want to obviously get revenge. Maybe instead of a tag match, because one of the ideas that I had originally floated was the WrestleMania match would be Rey and Penta against the New Day. You know, maybe New Day takes out Dragon Lee and the other members. Rey needs a partner, right? That was the original idea that I floated. Then there was another idea where we get Lucha Gable, and he's on television, and he's throwing out these open challenges, and he's beating these random people and these random luchadors. And it builds to an open challenge at WrestleMania where he says, any luchador in the world who wants to come out and try to take me down. And that's when we get the debut of Rey Fénix, right? What a great spot for Rey Fénix to debut at WrestleMania, right? Because the word is that Rey Fénix is coming in sometime after the European tour. So it's very likely we're going to have him on TV, if not by WrestleMania, then before WrestleMania, and then he can get on the card. Now I'm wondering if maybe we're looking at a six-man instead of a tag team match, and we get Rey, Dragon Lee, and Penta against the New Day and Lucha Gable, or they could do Rey, Penta, and Rey Fénix making his debut against Lucha Gable and the New Day. Some variation of this looks to be the direction for WrestleMania, and it would be a way to get all those guys on the show in a somewhat meaningful match. So that's where I think things are headed. This, we were not done, by the way, with this Gable stuff. We're going to come back to this a little bit later on. We go to the back, and we're in the Judgment Day. I call it the Judgment Day Clubhouse. I don't even think they have a clubhouse anymore. They're just in the back. I think they were evicted. They're just like in some random backstage area. But we see Finn Balor, and it looks like he's talking to himself. Behind Balor, there is some sort of box or crate or whatever, but on the side of it, printed or painted onto the side of it, is the face of Demon Balor. And I've had people say that there have been little Demon Balor nods like this on TV. I haven't noticed them until tonight. So obviously this is not the first time. This is building to something. I don't know how we get the demon. I guess they're going to bring the demon back at some point maybe, but there he was. There was the Demon Balor face right behind him. But what he was doing was he was recapping some of the events over the last few weeks involving the Judgment Day and Bron Breakker. And the camera pans over and we see Carlito, who was not paying attention to what he was saying. Carlito said, you know, John Cena's a bad guy now. I can't believe it. I always thought he would be a good guy, like me. So Dominic, Liv, Raquel Rodriguez, they arrive talking about their business tonight. And Dom tells Balor, I got you a match. with Bron Breakker next week for the Intercontinental Championship. Because when he first started talking, Balor, and he found out that he got a match for the IC title, Balor assumed, oh, you got yourself a match. He's like, no, I got you a match. And when Balor realized the match was for him, he just gave Dom a big hug. And he said that he was going to go make it official right now, go find Adam Pearce. So he leaves, and then Liv says, you know, I was wondering why Dom didn't get himself the match with Bron Breakker. Why didn't you get the match with Bron for the IC title? Dominic says, I believe in Finn. And he did not look very convinced when he said this, but these were the words that left his mouth. So after this, they showed Peter Rosenberg in the crowd. This was their thing tonight. They were showing celebrities of all stripes all throughout the show. They show Peter Rosenberg, who's on the radio here in New York, and he works for them. Now he's their play-by-play guy on their new Evolve show. So they show him in the crowd. They show Fabulous. Is it Fabulous or Fabulous? I know it's spelled Fabulous, but like, help me with the pronunciation here, because I always call him Fabulous, but maybe that's not the right way to pronounce it. Maybe he's Fabulous. I don't know. Somebody clue me in on the right way to say this guy's fucking name. My goodness. It was fabulous that he was there in the crowd tonight. So they showed him. And then they showed Macaulay Culkin in the audience. He was sitting with his brother, who they basically ignored. But Macaulay Culkin got the biggest pop of any of these people. And so then after this, it was on to the next segment. Fabulous. I said it right the first time. Fabulous. Okay. Fabulous. That's what I thought. Yeah, but see, now some people are saying it's the second pronunciation. I always assumed it was pronounced exactly the way that it's spelled. So I'm going to assume that I'm correct. We'll call him B-Fab. How about that? So up next, we have the WWE champion, Cody Rhodes. He was out to the ring with his black eye, earplug in the left ear again, like he was on SmackDown Friday night. After his pyro went off, he pulled it out of his ear. He gets in the ring, and he asks New York City what they want to talk about. Why am I here? He says he's here because it's the home base for WWE. It's the center of the wrestling universe. It's the garden. Or as Michael Cole said at the beginning of the show, it's the garden. What does he think this is, the Boston Garden? It's not the garden. It's the garden. His WrestleMania opponent, John Cena, who will be at WrestleMania 41, I would certainly hope so, won the fucking chamber. Sorry, guys, I can't make WrestleMania this year. I'm filming in Bangladesh. Maybe we could table this title match for another PLE. Hey, then maybe CM Punk could get his WrestleMania title match in the main event. So he said John Cena will be at WrestleMania 41, but he's not here tonight. And everybody boos. We got to get the boos, man. Everybody boos. That's right. They tell John Cena he sucks. So Cody says that Cena has told his inner circle, including Travis Scott and The Rock, that he'll be in Brussels, Belgium next week, but he's not here tonight. And he says this was the same John Cena who won the United States Championship in Madison Square Garden. This is the same John Cena who returned at the Royal Rumble with a torn pec in Madison Square Garden. It was apparently an easy decision for Cena to not appear tonight. However, he did not begrudge John Cena for having a part-time schedule. Now, at this point, the crowd lapsed into the "Let's go, Cena, Cena sucks" chants. And Cody stopped his promo and he said, John Cena is going to be watching this, so go ahead, let him have it. And so the chants continued. Rhodes did begrudge Cena, though, for something else. And he mentioned Cena's social media post the day after the Elimination Chamber, where he said that you must have the discipline to do what needs to be done, even if you don't feel like it. And Cody compared Cena to the overzealous teacher or coach who kept giving advice. But it was time for Cena to sit down and quote. Now, he's getting more animated here as he's talking. And he says that it's time for Cena to sit down and quote, "You goddamn moron." Says, nobody defined best for business like John Cena. But there were 17,000 people in attendance here who knew what was best for business. And this was funny because the announcers, they are frantically correcting Cody Rhodes. It's not 17,000. It's actually 19,000. Michael Cole's like, yeah, it's more like 20,000. Right? I could just picture them like in the back, like, and they're all freaking out. Like, oh my God, he undersold the attendance. Another record. Come on, Cody, get with it. So yes, he said 17,000. The truth is somewhere in the middle, I'm sure. He says the key number to remember was 17, which of course is the world title record that Cody is, or Cena rather, is chasing. It would be Cody's heartbreaking privilege to beat his hero in his last chance while Cena found out what the fans already knew, I'm the captain now. And the announcers made mention of the fact that Cody and Cena will be under the same roof next week for the first time since Elimination Chamber on Raw. That'll be next Monday. I don't know if that means that we're going to get them face-to-face in the ring or not. I feel like we'll probably get Cena having a solo promo. I mean, maybe Rock will be with him. They said nothing about Rock being in Belgium, so I'm going to assume he's not going to be there. But I would think we get a solo Cena promo first. Maybe Cody would try to come out to confront him and security would intervene and they save the first face-to-face for SmackDown or for Raw the following week. But they didn't really clarify if we were going to get them in the ring together at the same time. But that's the show to look forward to right there. That show next Monday is the next big show on the road to WrestleMania. It's not even SmackDown this Friday. It's that Raw in Belgium next Monday. Because that's when we get to see our first glimpse, true glimpse, for the first time in, I mean, what, 20 years? Over 20 years. 22, 23 years of heel John Cena. And we will find out about the entrance. We'll find out about the music. We'll find out about the overall presentation, what it looks like, what it feels like, what he has to say. That's what everything ever since Elimination Chamber has been building to. Cena's name on this show, especially the first time Cody name dropped him, he got a lot of boos, but then there were mixed chants, right? Let's go Cena, Cena sucks. So there was more of a mixed reaction at other points during this promo. Brussels, honestly, it's a crapshoot. I don't know what to expect. When was the last time the WWE had a live television show from Brussels? I mean, they must have. Maybe. I honestly don't remember them having a live show from Brussels. They're doing all these international shows now, and they're hitting certain places that would never get a PLE. They're hitting certain places that would never get a live Monday Night Raw. This is all new territory. Some of these places are going to. I'm sure they've run Brussels before, but probably for house shows, you know, on their international tours. I don't know what the crowd is going to sound like next week. So many of these international crowds, they're very rowdy and they're very vocal. They don't get WWE very often. So when they get it, like, they're all excited and they're all wound up. So I'm looking forward to finding out, but they don't do TV there. So I don't know what to expect. I don't know if Cena's going to get mostly cheered because, oh my God, we get to see John Cena and this is the last time we're ever going to get to see him. John Cena's not going back to fucking Brussels again. This is it. This is his last year. They don't have any more Brussels dates for the rest of the year. Is he going to be cheered? Is he going to be booed? I have no idea. Are they going to throw Belgian chocolate at him? I have no idea. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what the reaction is next week. This week's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. The NBA season is in full swing now, and you know who's scoring big? You are. With all the new ways to get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From monster slams to dishing the rock to cleaning the glass, you didn't think I knew all those terms, did you? Oh, ye of little faith, I know more than you think. Get behind your favorite players and the prop bets that you can make on DraftKings, the home of NBA player props. I'm looking at the schedule of games tonight and the odds in the DraftKings Sportsbook app as I am recording this. No Knicks game tonight, but there's Cleveland and Milwaukee. The Cavs are -380 favorites to win. The Bucks are +300. If you want to focus on prop bets, I'm looking at total points. Giannis, the Greek freak, picked up 32 points the other night against the Mavs to take him over 20,000 career points. Right now, he's at minus 2,500 to score 18 points plus in tonight's game. You get to 25 plus points and it swings to minus 300. How about hitting a double-double? Giannis is at minus 360. Triple-double, plus 550. And there's lots of other categories to bet on, too. First points in the game, rebounds, threes. And that's not the only game tonight, either. There's the Kings and the Clippers. LA is favored in that one, minus 225 to plus 185 for the Kings. Remember, lines and odds are subject to change. But here's something special if you're placing your very first bet. New DraftKings customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Take it to the rack with DraftKings Sportsbook. Every point counts. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SOLOMONSTER. That's code SOLOMONSTER for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/bball. We had Bailey against Raquel Rodriguez in a number one contenders. I'm going to have an update for you guys on the plan for next week. As far as covering the show, I'll let you know when we get to the end of this. So we have Bailey against Raquel Rodriguez, number one contenders match for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. Bailey fought back after a commercial break, hit a flying elbow drop for a two count. She missed the baseball slide by a lot, but managed to shove Raquel into the ring post before Raquel could do it to her. Dominic was out there. Liv Morgan was out there. It was basically like a handicap match. Dom distracted the referee. Liv tried to interfere. Bailey knocked her off the apron. She also knocked Dom off the apron. Went for a dive. Raquel caught her and delivered a belly-to-belly onto the announce desk. So she gets back in the ring. And Bailey looks like she's going to be counted out. She barely makes it back into the ring in time. As she makes it back in, though, Raquel boots her. And then she follows with the Tejana bomb. And she pins Bailey. And so Raquel Rodriguez is next in line now for a shot at Lyra Valkyria in the Intercontinental title. I'll tell you this, you know, for a building with almost 20,000 people in it, you would never know based on the reaction that these two got here in this match. This was as quiet as these fans were for anything on this show before or after all night. These people could barely bring themselves to care about this match. Now, Bailey has cooled off a lot since she lost the championship because she just hasn't been involved in any major story. So she's just sort of stuck she's stuck in neutral, it feels like right now. She was doing some stuff with Roxanne. I don't know where that's going to even go. I don't know if that's still a thing. I don't know if they're going to work each other WrestleMania weekend. I have no idea. And then Raquel, I mean, Raquel is just not over. You know, Raquel's one half of the tag team champions and she's there to watch Liv Morgan's back when she's not wrestling and she's just not over. You know, Bailey is an established star. Raquel is not. Raquel is still, they're trying with her. So the fans just didn't care about this. And look, I say it every week, but if it doesn't involve either of the women's world titles, people don't care. Because usually they don't put the effort in to give people a reason to care. And that's just the reality of it. The exception right now, though, would be the Bianca, Naomi, and Jade stuff. But that's a story that they have been, you know, dragging out and building up now for 3 or 4 months. Right? Bianca and Jade were a team for a year. Then Bianca and Naomi became a thing. So there was already a relationship and a friendship there. Jade gets attacked. Who done it? This has been going on for months. They've devoted a lot of television time to it. A lot of segments. Outside of that, what is another women's feud going on right now that people care about? when you see people, whether it's Meechin or B-Fab or Raquel or Ivy Nile or Lyra, Lyra does a good job of generally getting people into her matches as it goes on. I mean, it could be like pulling teeth sometimes, but she does a good job with that. But nobody seems to care. Like, just judge it based on the reactions they get when they're out there. Nobody cares. So, yeah, they know who Bayley is. Bayley's been around forever, held multiple world titles. But she's, at the moment, not doing anything, and so nobody has a reason to care. That's part of the problem. You got 18,000 people sitting in the stands, and so they were sitting on their hands for most of this match. Now we go to the back. Kathy Kelly is with Chad Gable, who we haven't, technically we have not seen Chad Gable in many weeks, but there he is. And she spoke as if it was a given. Yeah, oh, we saw you earlier tonight wearing a lucha mask. And Gable played dumb and said, look, it wasn't me. Right? It wasn't me. Said, called MSG security pathetic for not getting to that fan before he could get involved and do what he did. So as Kathy is arguing with Gable, and she is really pushing back, okay? She is doing as good of a job as a WWE interviewer has ever done in this situation before. Seriously, like so many times, especially like back in the day, oh my God, like go back like 15 years, and when they had those robots in the back, that's where the whole Dashabot thing comes from. Like they would have these women, because it was mostly women, they would have them asking the most plain Jane, dumb questions, like that you could possibly ask. No personality, there's not just nothing behind it, like just that this no life even in their fucking eyes. It's so different now than it used to be. Renee Young was like the exception, because she was the first one who really came along in the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years in that company, in that role, that actually seemed like she had a personality. At least a personality that was allowed to shine through. So Kathy Kelly's out there. She's like fucking Walter Cronkite. She's pushing back and she's asking questions and saying, well, actually, you know. And so as she's doing this, in the background, behind them, we see a man wearing the same black hoodie and the same American flag-inspired lucha mask being detained by MSG security. And they are escorting him out of the building. And Kathy looked confused. And Gable just looks at her and says, see? New York City security. Pathetic. And he walks off. So apparently it wasn't Chad Gable that we saw earlier in the show. Maybe it was Rey Fénix. See, maybe I was right. Maybe I was right the first time. It was Rey Fénix. We got his debut here tonight on Raw. How about that? We'll see where this goes. I was amused by all this. I'm just happy we have Gable back on TV and then they have some kind of role for him. Even though he's going to go to WrestleMania and lose, right? I think we all know that. I was amused by this. Now, throughout the night, they were showing clips of various cage matches in Madison Square Garden over the years. Here, they showed one, or clips from Randy Savage defending the WWF title against the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. They had a great one back in 1988. I think the best MSG cage match that I have ever seen, and I still remember it, was one of the cage matches that Hulk Hogan had with the Big Boss Man, which would have been back around that. That probably would have been 89. They took that match on the loop everywhere. And they did in most of those matches, they actually did the same spot, which we got in the main event tonight, which was the superplex off the top. And I mean, they did that spot on those old rings, no less, that had no give. They were boxing rings. So they were not intent. They had to be sturdy and hard because they weren't meant for wrestlers to be taking bumps on their back. That's the ring that they used, and these are big guys back then. Hogan was gigantic. Boss Man at that time, before he slimmed down, he was huge. And they were doing that spot, landing on their backs every single night. I remember they did a cage match at MSG, and it might be the one I'm thinking of. And I want to say later that same night, they had another show at the Boston Garden in the cage, and they ran it back again. And I remember that because Boss Man, he got cut open. He got busted open during the Garden match, the Madison Square Garden match. And then when he went to the Boston Garden, he had a bandage on his head. So they were doing it twice in one night sometimes. It's crazy, especially on those rings. So then, at this point in the show, they showed more D-list celebrities in the crowd. You know, it is exhausting. All of these celebrity, I know it's a TKO thing, but my God, all of these celebrity acknowledgments, you know, every single week. By next week, like, I'm fully expecting that by next week on the show, we're going to get the fucking Limu Emu from those Liberty Mutual commercials. They're going to be showing him in the front row. It's like, enough already. So Michael Cole was in the ring after a break to introduce to us the brand new women's world champion crowned on this very show last week, Io Sky. And he congratulated her on heading to WrestleMania, and the crowd cheered. And she called it a dream to be standing in MSG as the champion. She said that she was over the moon, knowing that she was headed to WrestleMania. And Doug? No, the emu will be on Raw. Doug is not invited. If the emu is a D-list celebrity, I think Doug maybe only rises to the level of like F. So he will not be there next week. The emu will be there. Doug will not be there. Flo from Progressive, you know, she's a little bit of a bigger star. So it's going to take a little bit more cheddar to get her on the show, but she'll be there in a few weeks. We'll get Flo. It's too bad the Geico Gecko is not around anymore. I haven't seen him in a while. Cole then introduces Io's WrestleMania opponent, Bianca Belair. And she gets in the ring, and she congratulates Io and said that she was excited for them to be headed to WrestleMania. Cole said, look, I got to ask this. And he asked Bianca if Rhea Ripley would still be the women's champion right now had Bianca not been sitting at ringside last week. So Bianca said that she's had enough drama lately, and she was just out here to watch the match. That's all she was out there for last week. If Rhea thought that she would put her hands on her and get away with it, then she didn't know her at all. Here comes Rhea Ripley. Madison Square Garden explodes. All the mommy chants, they love them some Rhea Ripley. She walks out. She says there was no reason for Bianca to be out there last week. She said Bianca should have left her to handle her business with Io, while Bianca handled her own business with Naomi and Jade Cargill. So Bianca said that Rhea was upset with her for clapping for Io. And she asked if that sounded crazy to her. And then she said, the real reason that Rhea is upset is because she knows she can't beat Io. Which is true. Rhea Ripley has not been able to beat Io Sky in any of their previous matches. And so she's blaming her for it. Now, Io is standing in the background. And I'm like, man, you know, Io is the champion. And this woman is like an afterthought here. So she tries to intervene. Like, hey, I'm still here. Rhea Ripley just doesn't even look at her. She just pie faces her back. And she accuses Bianca of hiding behind Io, just like she hid behind Naomi and Jade. So Io tried to intervene again. This time, Bianca pie faces her. Now Io got mad. Because now, even I'm sitting here like, okay, if this woman does not do something to these two, then this is a very bad sign for how this build is going to go to WrestleMania. Because she's the champion, okay? You can't let these women put their hands on you like that. And she didn't. She got very mad. And she said, basically, enough of this shit. And she slaps Rhea Ripley across the face. And then she turns and she knocks Bianca down with a slap, which got a rise out of the crowd. And the crowd cheered for Io. And she was flailing her arms around all over the place like an octopus. And then she left the ring. But she was also pointing up at the WrestleMania sign. And I don't know if she was signaling that she would defend her title against both women at WrestleMania or if she was just saying, you know, I'm going to WrestleMania. They didn't really make that clear. At no point on commentary did the announcers even tease the possibility that, hey, maybe this is a triple threat now, right? So nothing was formally stated about that. But clearly, and I think we already knew this coming out of last week, but clearly after this week, that is the direction for WrestleMania. And that is going to be a great match. And I am a little bit bummed that we're not going to get Rhea Ripley one-on-one with Bianca Belair. I've been waiting for that match for a long time. But if it gets Io in a prime spot on that card, which it will, because she's the champion, she's the defending champion now going into this show, I can't be upset about that, because she deserves it. She's too good and she's too over and popular with the audience right now to not be in a spot, a prime spot like that at WrestleMania. I have no interest in seeing Io relegated to the women's tag team title picture, you know, or some kind of giant multi-woman fucking six-woman match or anything. I don't want to see her in that. This is where she should be. So I'm happy about that. The other thing I thought coming out of this segment was that great promo that didn't air on TV. It was after the show last week. It was like a 4.5-minute promo in the back where Jackie Redmond tried to interview Rhea Ripley, and she just ran through the gamut of emotion. She showed more range in that one promo than I have ever seen in her entire career. Like, it was the best promo of her entire career. And in that promo, she basically took responsibility for what happened last week, and she admitted, I was stupid, which she was. She had the match won. She saw Bianca Belair clapping on the outside of the ring, and that was enough to distract her. And she left her opponent to go torment and put her hands on Bianca Belair. I said she deserved to lose. And so in this promo, she acknowledged that. She took responsibility. And then I see her come out here, and she was all excuses. She comes out here on this show, and she is all excuses. You had no business being out there. You know, basically, I lost because you were out there, and you distracted me. That's what she was saying. Like, the complete opposite of what she was acknowledging in her own promo last week. We got six more weeks. Six more weeks of promos. Maybe we'll get the inevitable, can they coexist? Now that we are settling into, like, what the matches are actually going to be, like, today is March 10th. Night one of WrestleMania is not until April 20th, right? 19th or 20th, I forget which one. So we have several more weeks to go. And we'll see how they continue to develop this. If Rhea, you know, are any of these women going to take on more of the heel role? That doesn't mean turn heel, but just are any of them going to take on more of a heelish role in this as we head into WrestleMania? Because I could see Rhea or Bianca doing that. It's not going to be Io. But like Rhea coming out tonight, and look, I don't think it's going to work with Rhea. Rhea's too popular. You know, Bianca's popular too, but she's not popular like Rhea is right now. I'm sorry. Rhea came out. I mean, she was trying to speak and cut this promo, and you could barely hear her. Like, the chants were so loud. So it might not work, frankly, if they try that with Rhea Ripley. It would make things a little more interesting, I think. Yeah, if she's desperate to get her belt back. So nothing is official right now, but this is going to end up being a triple threat match. And they closed the show with the first televised steel cage match in Madison Square Garden in a decade. And one half of that cage match 10 years ago was back in the cage tonight, and that was Seth Rollins. He went one-on-one with CM Punk. Funny enough, the month after Punk came back to the company 2 years ago, he was at Madison Square Garden in a cage match on the holiday tour against Dominic Mysterio. So he has been inside of a cage in the garden before. This is not his first time. Rollins threw his jacket at Punk because he came to the ring first. So as Punk was getting into the cage, Rollins threw his jacket at him. Referee called for the bell, so that kicked off the match. And there were dueling chants for both men. The Punk chants won out. Punk was clearly the favorite of the two. Rollins avoided an early GTS attempt. Punk went for a high knee in the corner, but Rollins caught him and powerbombed him into the side of the cage. And that took us into the final commercial break. It was all Rollins during the break. Rollins had Punk down when he had the referee outside open the cage door, which he did. And Rollins had the chance to escape, but instead of trying to exit the cage, he motioned for Punk to leave the cage. Go ahead. Go ahead and leave. Right? Just like you did 10 years ago. Go ahead and leave. So Punk flipped him off, and they actually blacked out the screen. How fucking lame is that? Like, I knew that when they went to Netflix, you're not going to get F-bombs galore every week. I think some people had this image in their head that it's going to be the Attitude Era on steroids, and they're going to be able to do all these things they can't do on USA. Like, I didn't expect that. But, like, really? You're going to black the screen out at 10 o'clock at night on Netflix because the guy flipped the double bird? Like, really? So that was fucking lame. Rollins went for another powerbomb into the cage. Punk slipped out and managed to hit a GTS, but Punk fell down on his ass. Not that he botched it, but just, like, he hit the move and then he fell down on his ass and he was not immediately trying to go for the pin. He was trying to recover, even though the door was wide open, so if he wanted to, he could have escaped, but he opted not to. But that was the shift in momentum that Punk needed at this point, because it was all Rollins at the beginning of this. So he raked Rollins' face across the steel, then he pointed to the open door, and he told Rollins to leave. Neither man had even attempted a cover at this point in the match. They didn't seem very interested in leaving, they just seemed more interested in punishing the other. Punk hit the Randy Savage elbow off the top rope, then he hit a second elbow, then he hit a third elbow, went for the first pin attempt of the match, but he pulled a Hogan, and Rollins kicked out. Although, Rollins has some catching up to do. I think, I want to say, did Savage hit five elbows on Hogan, or am I thinking of the match with Warrior? I'm almost positive in their WrestleMania 5 match, he hit more than one elbow off the top. Maybe I'm wrong. I know in the Warrior match, he hit him with a whole bunch, and Warrior basically no-sold it and kicked out of all of them. So Punk climbed, and he climbed to the very top of the cage. And I'm like, oh man, Punk's going to try to outdo Will Ospreay. He's going to hit a Spanish fly. Oh, can you imagine, by the way? CM Punk hitting a Spanish fly off the top of the cage. I don't think that would end well for CM. I don't think CM Punk would be going to WrestleMania this year if he attempted to do something like that. Will Ospreay will be lucky if he makes it to fucking Double or Nothing at this point, if he keeps doing stuff like that. Punk climbs to the very top of the cage. And he thought about doing something, but I'm sure visions of Adam Copeland started flashing before his eyes, and he thought better of it. Actually, Rollins got back to his feet, so Rollins climbed to the top of the cage after him. They fought on top of the cage for a little bit. They were sitting up there. Punk ended up draped over the top of the cage, draped inside over the top of the cage. And Rollins was standing on the top rope, and he reached up, and he grabbed Punk, and he delivered a super duperplex, as I call it. This was not a superplex. This was a super duperplex off the top of the cage. So they did the Hogan boss man spot. Actually, Brett and Owen did that in their cage match at SummerSlam as well, or something similar. Rollins covered Punk. Punk kicked out. So this is awesome chance rang out throughout Madison Square Garden. Both men back to their feet. There was a pedigree attempt by Rollins that Punk countered out of, and he connected on another GTS, and he covered Rollins, but Seth kicked out. And Punk tried for another GTS, but on the landing, Rollins caught the leg, he took him down, and he put him in an STF. So it was the Elimination Chamber all over again, because this is exactly what John Cena did to Punk at the Chamber when he choked him out. That was when Rollins was on the outside of the cage looking and going, die, die, right? He's just yelling die over and over again. So here, he's got him in the STF, and he's not yelling die, but he's yelling for him to go to sleep. Punk counters out into an Anaconda Vice. Rollins raked the eyes so he was able to escape. And then Seth Rollins hits the stomp. And he arrogantly covers Punk while smirking and looking up at the WrestleMania sign, and Punk kicks out. So now Rollins, he goes to the ropes for what looks like he's setting up for a super stomp. Punk pulls him down, right? That's how he beat Bronson Reed. So he goes to try for what looks like a super stomp. Punk pulls him down, and he gives him a third go to sleep. And he covers him, and Rollins kicks out. Punk then gives Rollins a stomp of his own. He covers Rollins. He kicks out. Rollins, at this point, had kicked out of three GTSs and a stomp. No sold his own move. So the door is open. Punk had the chance to go leave. Rollins looks up. He's on his knees. He's looking up at Punk. And he says to him, if you want my house, take it from me, you asshole. Earn it, you asshole. So he takes out Rollins with what looked like, it looked like a shining wizard that he gave him. Honestly, it was probably just a running knee strike. But he gave him what looked like a shining wizard. And then he gave him a stomp. He covers him. Actually, the shining wizard, he went for another GTS, I meant, not a stomp. Went for another GTS. Rollins, though, hit one instead. And then he hits a stomp. He goes for the cover. Punk kicks out again. Rollins now has the chance to escape the cage. Out the door. Not even climbing over. Like, the door's open. He doesn't do it. And instead, he climbs to the second rope and he lands a super stomp. Rollins then is laying back across the bottom rope, right? There's no sense of urgency here. He has the match won. All he's got to do is crawl out the door and it's over. But he's leaning back on the bottom rope and he's mouthing off. You can see him call Punk a motherfucker. And the crowd all of a sudden gets very loud. Now, they have a tight camera shot on Rollins, so we can't see what's going on. But everybody comes alive. We couldn't see why, but then we see why. Roman Reigns is here. And Roman Reigns reaches into the cage, and he pulls Rollins out of the cage to the floor. And the referee calls for the bell, and they announce that Seth Rollins is the winner of this steel cage match. Roman gives him a Superman punch, and then he gives him a spear on the floor. And then about a minute later, he delivered a stomp of his own to Seth Rollins on the floor outside. Payback for what Seth did to him at the Royal Rumble. Honestly, it doesn't even do it justice to call what Seth did to Roman a stomp at the Rumble. Like, he used both of his feet and jumped up in the air and double stomped the fuck out of this guy face first into the... That's why we haven't seen Roman Reigns in over a month. So he delivered a stomp to Rollins here as payback. And the fans in the building are chanting OTC. Like, they're not even mad at Roman for costing Punk the match. They're cheering for Roman. So Roman says one more time. And he places Rollins face down on the steel steps. And he said he's going to end it all for him right now. So Roman is setting up for a stomp. Here comes Adam Pearce. He runs out from the back with referees and with agents, and they get in between them to stop him, to save Seth's life, basically. Roman looks up into the ring, and he sees the wise man. Paul Heyman is in the cage. Like, Punk is kneeling down, and Heyman is in the ring with him, consoling CM Punk. I didn't even see Heyman get in the cage. Like, I didn't even see him waddle in there or anything. But there he is, and he's consoling CM Punk. And so Roman is looking at this, and he's obviously shocked at first by what he's seeing. And then he almost looks amused, starts smiling. He climbs into the cage. He grabs CM Punk, and he tosses him into the cage a few times, and then he spears CM Punk. As Heyman now is standing in the corner, his hands are clasped together. He looks terrified. It was like the way he used to walk around 2 or 3 years ago during the Bloodline storyline, where he looked like he was just a hostage every single week. He was walking on eggshells around Roman Reigns every single week. That's what he looked like here. Or when he was with Solo and Jacob and them and the look he had on his face. So he's in the corner. He looks terrified. And the parting shot here is Roman standing in the middle of the ring, throwing up the ones. The fans are chanting OTC. They don't seem too bothered. Even though they love CM Punk, they're not too bothered by what Roman did to him. And that is how the show went off the air. I have to say this. The finisher spam here, and we get a lot of it in wrestling these days, but the finisher spam here was out of control. The crowd loved it. Crowd reacted big to everything that these guys were doing, but it got really ridiculous here by the end. There are just some matches where you can do that. You can spam certain moves and have all these kickouts and it just works. And then there are matches where you just get to that point and it's like, all right, like this is one too many. Or you have other matches where it's like, man, this fucking sucks, right? That's not what this match was. That's what John Cena and The Rock was at WrestleMania 29. I fucking hated that. That's all that match. I swear to God, 75% of that match is just attitude adjustment. Rock bottom, attitude adjustment, rock bottom, attitude adjustment, rock. Like I fucking hate that match. In this match, it worked because the crowd was into it. It was an excellent match. It didn't ruin the match. It was just something where it got to a point where it was just completely out of control. This was a better match than the match they had on the Netflix premiere, and I thought that was a very good match. This was better than that. This was an excellent match. We did get the predictable Roman Reigns return. I talked about that last week. I said this is tailor-made for a Roman Reigns return. Otherwise, what are they waiting for? Right? When else are we going to see him back on the show? There's only one person he should be targeting when he comes back, and it was Seth Rollins. So, of course, we got Roman Reigns on the show. Pulling him out of the cage gives Seth the win. So that was stupid. I at least thought that that would be the reason they did it that way was that it would be the catalyst for CM Punk to come out next week and say, hey, motherfucker, you cost me my match last week. And that would be the way that we, you know, get Punk into this whole thing going into WrestleMania. But then Roman just went back into the cage and beat up Punk. So, like, I think Punk already has a pretty good reason to be upset with Roman Reigns, forgetting the fact that, you know, he lost the match. This guy came back into the cage and beat the shit out of him. Although, if we're being honest, Rollins, he had the match won. Like, there was no way. I know they kept kicking out of everything, but, like, Rollins had just hit a super stomp. He was right next to the door. The door was wide open. Like, the match was over. Punk was not winning this match. So, blaming Roman Reigns for his loss, if that's what he was to do, would ring a little hollow to me if he comes out next week on TV and does that. So here's what I'm thinking, all right, based on what they did tonight. Roman against Seth. I think that's going to be made official as early as next week for WrestleMania. So the match is going to be Roman Reigns against Seth Rollins. CM Punk is going to end up using his favor from Paul Heyman to get himself added to the match because he hates both of these guys. Especially Roman, after what happened tonight. He's going to use that favor to get himself inserted, and that's how we end up with a triple threat match at WrestleMania. And keep in mind that if that is the favor and he cashes it in to be part of this, you know, match and turns into a three-way, that doesn't preclude them from some other big twist at WrestleMania. If you think that there's a chance Paul Heyman may turn on Roman and end up with Punk coming out of Mania, I don't think that's going to happen. They could do that. Just because he uses the favor to get in the match doesn't mean there can't be some big plot twist at the end of all this. So just keep that in mind. No matter what the favor is, there could be more that still happens at WrestleMania. But this is almost a carbon copy of, you know, the women's triple threat, where I would really prefer to see Roman Reigns against CM Punk. We're going to get these guys in the ring in a match for the very first time. Because the only other time they've been in the ring together as adversaries in any kind of a match was the Royal Rumble, right? In War Games, they were on the same side. So they were in the Rumble together, but this is going to be the first real match between these two. And I would prefer that first meeting be a singles match. But I look at this as I do the women's match. Adding Io is only going to make that match better on the women's side. Adding Seth Rollins, it's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt. We've seen Rollins in triple threats before that have gone on to become, you know, fucking legendary matches. So adding him to the match is only going to enhance the match and make it better. Like EO, he can't be the odd man out here. He deserves to be in a prominent spot on this show. And I'm not just talking about the year that he had last year and what he did with the, you know, he had a bad knee and he went into WrestleMania and, you know, he worked his title match, and then he came out at the end of the show on night two. He was Cody's shield. And so he really put himself out there for WrestleMania last year, even though he was not 100%. I would take it all the way back to when Cody came back to the company 3 years ago. This man right now, in many ways, is certainly one of the MVPs in this company. Like, Drew McIntyre last year was like the MVP, at least on Raw. Seth Rollins is the MVP right now. The work that he's putting in the ring is second to none, right? Another excellent match here tonight. And I'm not always a fan of what he does with some of these goofy promos and when he comes out there and talks about how he's a revolutionary and, you know, he's going to come out and like wearing the red coats one of these days. I'm a revolutionary. I'm a visionary. Like, I hate that shit. He's very obnoxious. I'm not a fan of this character, whatever this character is supposed to be, but I can never knock the man's work. Like, he is one of the best in the entire company. But go back 3 years ago, when Cody Rhodes came back to this company, what Seth Rollins did for Cody was huge. I still don't think he gets enough credit for it. He set that man up to be in the spot that he's in today. I mean, they gave Cody they rolled out the red carpet for him his first night in. I'm not saying that without Seth, he would be, you know, part of fucking Alpha Academy. But he'd be Stardust by now. I'm not saying that, but Rollins was a top guy in this company. And he had one job, and he did that job very well, which was, look, we need you to put this guy over at WrestleMania. And then came the next show, and we need you to put him over again. And then came Hell in a Cell. And he's got a torn pec. Oh, shit. He's going away. He's going to have surgery. He's going to be gone for 9 months. We need you to put him over again. And he did that. And that is what set Cody on his way. And look at where he is now. So here we go now into this WrestleMania show. And if Seth Rollins is not involved in this match, what the hell else do you do with Seth Rollins? I guess Sami Zayn doesn't have a match. Sami Zayn may not even be on the WrestleMania card. Seth and Sami, right? Like, legitimately, what else would you do? Where else does he fit into the puzzle? When you try to put the puzzle pieces in where they belong, it just doesn't fit anywhere else right now for Seth. This match is where he belongs. So as much as I'd love to see Roman and Punk one-on-one, like, this is the match that makes sense because this is what everything has been building to for the last few months. But two triple threat matches that are not yet official but will be, so that's really the newsworthy stuff coming out of the show, that, and of course the return of Roman Reigns. I just thought the first half plus of this show really wasn't very good. It picked up there towards the end. The cage match was excellent, and now we have another big name back on TV. Don't know if Roman's going to be there every week, but it's good to have him back, and we're going to have Cena on the show next week. So the pieces are finally falling into place. We'll get some of these people on television, which we need. No more of this absentee bullshit. I mean, it's the road to WrestleMania here. We got to get these people on TV. Now, speaking of next week, very important announcement here. Raw is going to be airing live on Netflix next week, much earlier than usual, because they're going to be in Brussels. And so 3 o'clock Eastern time in the afternoon is when Raw is going to be airing live on Netflix. They're going to run that show live. Because on Netflix, you can do that. On USA Network, you can't. But on Netflix, you can do that. My plan right now, my tentative plan, is to go live on YouTube at 8 o'clock. So normally Raw would be starting here at 8 p.m. Eastern. I would like to do my review at 8 p.m. So I'll watch the show live. And that way I could have dinner after that and take a shower and get ready. And at 8 o'clock, we're ready to go. There's no reason for me to go live super late. I actually kind of love this. So that's what I think we're going to do next week. So try to watch the show if you can, you know, either when it airs live or sometime before 8 o'clock, because that's probably when I'm going live next week. And if not, then you want to wait, then the review will be there for you when you're done. But I think that's what we're going to do. Now, the week after that, they're in Glasgow. So I think in Scotland, I don't know what the time zone differential is in Scotland. I mean, we had Clash at the Castle last year. When did that show? Oh, God, I want to say it was 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock Eastern. So I think the time zone difference is going to be a little bit earlier even the week after that. And then for London, I guess for London, it'll probably be the same thing, right? Probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern. So yeah, that's going to be the plan the next few weeks. Is I'm not going to go live as soon as Raw is over. I'll give it a few hours, but probably around 8 p.m. Eastern is when we'll do the streams. And I love that. That'll be great. I get to end at a reasonable time. I'm looking forward to this very much, actually. Watch some Raw 3 o'clock in the afternoon while I'm doing my work. It is a little weird, though. We're going to get the first heel John Cena promo. It's going to be fucking 3:30 in the afternoon. Fucking daylight outside. Here's the lineup, though, for Raw next week. Cody and Cena under the same roof for the first time since Elimination Chamber. Bron Breakker is defending the Intercontinental title against Finn Balor. Penta, one-on-one with Ludwig Kaiser, no holds barred. Jey Uso takes on Austin Theory, and Dakota Kai takes on Ivy Nile. So that is the lineup for Raw next Monday. Here is the Raw poll. What did you think of Raw from Madison Square Garden tonight? Almost 81% thumbs up. And we have 19% thumbs down. And I have a feeling that a lot of that, as with the Revolution poll, has a lot to do with the main event and how they closed. I think in that regard, it is the tale of two polls, and it really goes to show you how important it is to close strong on these shows. It just shows you how important a main event can be. Put it this way, we got a much better main event tonight than we got last night. That's for damn sure. Thank you, guys. Let me go through your messages here. We'll have some fun with this. And then we got a round of Be the Booker. Got one round of Be the Booker that we got to do here in a little bit. We had some fun with that last night. Yeah, 3 o'clock in the morning, Be the Booker. That's always fun. Let's go back to the beginning. I'm going to start with our boy Diego here. Let me just scroll down here for you. Hey, Diego, what's going on? Diego Vasquez. I listened to the podcast. I have no recollection of writing or sending my question. Now I know what having a fever dream means. The fever was real. Yeah, it was real. It was kind of a wild idea. I hope you're feeling better, though. Honey Deep Fried Chicken. I'm making a prediction for the WWE in the future. Triple H and Shawn Michaels will introduce trios titles, and NXT will get the first test run. I don't think we are going to get trios titles anytime soon, but if we were to, I agree that NXT would be the testing ground for it. I agree with that. Look, I think them adding the women's North American title was the test for what we have now. We have two women's mid-card titles on the main roster. And I said it when they introduced the NXT North American women's title. That's a test. That's a test run for what we're going to get eventually on Raw and SmackDown. Duff's Vids, what happens when you boil a funny bone? It becomes a laughing stock. All right, there you go. Duff's Vids, everybody. He's available for birthdays and bar mitzvahs, and he's not getting a lot of work, so throw some his way. Also, what do you call it when a snake throws a temper tantrum? A hissy fit. Well, since Sidro is not here, I am anointing you the new Sidro. Honey Deep Fried Chicken, looking back on Travis Scott and what he did to Cody Rhodes, that was no ordinary slap. Travis gave Cody straight up pow, kaboom, to his head. Yeah, Cody's very lucky that he only got away with a busted eardrum. Especially this close to WrestleMania. That could have been so much worse. Honey, Deep Fried Chicken, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Ripley promo battle was freaking awesome. I love the shit out of it. Let's fucking go. Demetrius Hodge, thank you for the 10. Demetrius, I hope you're doing well. Definitely one of the best endings to Raw this year. Do you think a triple threat match will main event night one of WrestleMania with these, with Roman, Punk, and Seth, or will it be Jay against Gunther? If you ask me right now which one should main event the show, then it's Roman, Punk, and Seth. I don't know where we're going to be in 6 weeks. But the way things are right now and the way things have been built up right now, it's a no-brainer. I mean, those are three of the biggest stars in your company right there. Suplex City Mitch. going on, Mitch, with a $30. That's the Mentos super chat. It says, I hope WrestleMania 40 gets rectified at 41, and we get Stone Cold giving a stunner to the Brahma bitch. Love you, Solo. You are my tribal chief. I'm pulling for it. Austin said he's going to be there, so I'm pulling for it. This journey called life just came from the show, and MSG, I lost my voice. That CM Punk Rollins match tore the house down, and when Roman came out, the place came unglued. Yeah, it was a great match. Better than their match at the beginning of the year. And that was a good match. Matt Fisher, R-Truth, needs to interact with John at some point. Well, if we ever get John on TV, I think he will. But right now, R-Truth is on SmackDown, and John Cena is only advertised for Raw for these next few weeks. So if it happens, we're going to have to wait until April. Jerome Eugenio, even as a heel, we still can't see John Cena. It's true. Even as a heel, we can't see him. Jeremy Rose, I know it's a ways away, but WrestleMania 50, Madison Square Garden. Do you think they go for nostalgia, or do you see them going for the money at the biggest, newest stadium? Maybe by then they do three nights. Oh, please, no. Let's not even talk about that. No, they're not running Madison Square Garden, especially under TKO. It's all about money. And they're going to get site fees, and they're going to have cities bidding on WrestleMania, and they're going to want to set gate records and attendance records. That's what they're all about right now. Now, you're asking about WrestleMania 50. We just had 40. Who's to say where we're going to be in 9 years? I don't know. Business, as hot as it is right now, it can't sustain this. Like, business will go down again at some point. I don't know when that's going to be, and maybe they'll have to run smaller buildings at that point. But they're just too big right now. They're not going to run a 20,000-seat building when they could run a 50 or 70 or 85,000-seat stadium. They'll just run MetLife. They're running SummerSlam two nights at MetLife this year. Can you imagine how much those tickets would be, though? If TKO was like, all right, we're going to do WrestleMania at Madison Square Garden, but since we can only get 22,000 people in there, we're going to have to like triple the cost of the seats. How much would those tickets? Oh my God, I don't even want to think about how much those tickets would go for. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't like math any more than you probably do, but let's talk numbers for a second, okay? Did you know that traditional in-person therapy can cost anywhere from $100 to $250 per session? That can add up fast. But with BetterHelp Online Therapy, you can save on average up to 50% per session. With BetterHelp, you pay a flat fee for weekly sessions, saving you big on cost and time. Therapy should feel accessible, not like a luxury. And with online therapy, you get quality care at a price that makes sense and can help you with everything from anxiety to everyday stress. I know therapy can feel like a big investment, but in the same way you pay for a gym membership to take care of your body, taking care of your mind is every bit as important. The benefits from therapy are very real, and they can be a game changer for you, whatever you may be going through. It can teach you things like positive coping skills and how to set boundaries in your life. And it isn't just for people that have experienced some kind of trauma in their lives. There are lots of things that you may consider minor problems, but if you leave them untreated, those minor problems could turn into a major problem for you down the road, and it can affect your quality of life. The key is recognizing what those problems are and then addressing them now instead of letting them fester. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people all over the world. And its convenience is one of its most appealing traits. You can join a session with just the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And even better, you have the option of switching therapists at any time. Your well-being is worth it. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. Retro KOH, I'm going to predict that we don't get Cena's new theme until WrestleMania, so I hope y'all don't get your hopes up too high for next week. I could see that. I could see if there is going to be a new theme. Waiting until Mania. I'm not convinced he's going to be a heel past WrestleMania, especially if he loses. So that would be kind of a waste if it would just be for one night. Honey Deep Fried Chicken, give me a Dakota Kai heel turn and Blade Lyra. If they're going to use the Blade in WWE, they're not using it on a Dakota Kai Lyra Valkyria match. That I can promise you. That's not going to happen. Eminem. The Demon Balor message from Uncle Howdy should be the starting point for the Judgment Day Wyatt 6 matches at WrestleMania. For AEW, Judgment Day Wyatt 6? Two separate brands. What makes you think they're going to have a WrestleMania match? I'm not seeing that at all. AEW, given Darby Allin won't be back for a while, should Swerve versus Mox main event Double or Nothing? No, I think Swerve versus Moxley should main event Dynasty next month, and that should be the end of Jon Moxley's reign as the AEW World Champion. And then I don't want to see Jon Moxley in the main event again for 5 years. Jeremy Rose, have you ever seen a top guy be unable to get a clean win against the other top stars, like Seth? Cody, Punk, Gunther, etc. He doesn't best any of them. Well, he couldn't beat Cody at all. Forget clean or otherwise. That's why I say he's a lot more giving than a lot of top guys traditionally would be. You can tell who politics and wrestling and who doesn't. I'm looking at that Revolution main event last night. I'm like, man, they had Christian cash in so that Copeland didn't have to take the pin. Like, that's next level. That is next level. Honey, deep fried chicken with flavor to honor Macaulay Culkin. It is the good son scenario. Save one, let the other one go. Juan Cena or Mr. America? Adios, Mr. America. Love me some Juan Cena. We didn't get to see him enough. We didn't get to see him at all, actually, on TV. That was a house show gimmick. Alfonso, will you do an NXT Roadblock review after the show tomorrow? NXT is looking stacked. Plus, seeing Julia tonight made my heart skip a beat. She is stunning. So is Stephanie. Let's not ignore Stephanie Vicaire, okay? She's the one right there. And no, I will be doing Tuesday Night Titans, so I will not be able to do a review. I will review Roadblock at some point. It may not be until the show next Sunday, but I do plan on watching the show probably on Wednesday. Probably Wednesday morning. Ian Noel with the $27 super chat. Technically, CM Punk has faced Roman in the handicap match against The Shield, where Punk has to make Roman strong. That said, not saying this would be good, but what are the chances of a triple threat, Sami Zayn, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens? Let me tell you something. I have no interest in that whatsoever. If they are going to give us two triple threat matches here with the women and with Roman, Punk, and Seth, I don't want this turning into WrestleMania 16, okay? I don't want triple threat after triple threat after triple threat. I have no interest in that. Sami Zayn had his unsanctioned match with Kevin Owens in Toronto. The issue now is Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. That's it. I have no interest in seeing that turned into a triple threat. Retro says, considering Punk brought The Shield in and Mox is gone, I think this will be the closest to a Shield triple threat at WrestleMania that we will ever get. I'll tell you right now, it's the closest you're ever going to get. You're never going to get Roman, Rollins, and Ambrose at a WrestleMania. It's not going to happen. Base beer is Travis Scott almost revived the undashing gimmick for Cody. That was actually an excellent gimmick. The paper bags on the fans. Too short-lived. Well, he had the grooming tips, too. Don't forget about that. Bill Mitchell with the $10 super chat. What's going on, Bill? Leopoldo says, never say never, Solid Monster. I'm going to say never.
Ever.
Never going to happen. Bill says, can we please get rid of the effing coward's advantage in cage matches? Talking about the escape the cage rule. I mean, that's classic WWE. That was a WWE thing. I mean, back in the day, they didn't even allow pinfalls and submissions in their cage matches. Alex, is this a WrestleMania 37 situation again with Becky Lynch, or is it just the lack of storyline for her? When should we expect her back? I don't know. She will be back. They obviously are just holding her off. They don't have an idea for her or a spot for her on the WrestleMania card, and maybe she's busy doing other things. So now is not the time, but she will be back this year. And she'll be on Raw. Because when Raw debuted on Netflix at the beginning of the year, she was in a lot of the advertising. And Seth is on the show. BW with the $5 super chat says, at least you get an early Raw review next week. 3 p.m. your time. Noon my time. In other words, a lunchtime Raw all around, depending on where you live. Well, for me, it's in between lunch and dinner. But I'm just happy it lets me go live earlier, so it's a lot better to go live at 8 o'clock or 8:30 than 11 o'clock at night. Chris Manson with the 12. Well, if anyone can try to take the Death Riders or make the Death Riders interesting, it is Swerve. Death Riders should take out Prince Nana this week, and Nana can return and help Swerve win at Dynasty. Book it. Weren't they hitting people with hammers and stuff at the beginning of this Death Riders bullshit? They could take a hammer to Prince Nana. They could burn the embassy robe. Toby, celebrating 30 months of channel membership. With SmackDown going on at 8 p.m. Eastern and earlier on Netflix for the rest of the world, what are your plans? My plans are, if SmackDown is airing here in the U.S. in its normal time, then I'm watching it at its normal time. And I will go live when it's over. On Netflix, it's going to air earlier, so I'm going to watch it earlier, and then I'll go live a little bit earlier. SmackDown, I don't think I'm going to have that luxury. Because if most people are going to be watching it in its normal time slot, then that's when I'll be watching it. And when it's over, I'll go live. So at this moment, nothing is going to be... I don't think anything is going to change for SmackDown. Unless I hear otherwise that, you know, it's going to be airing earlier here, but it's on USA. I imagine it's going to be on tape delay at 8 o'clock like it always is. Base Beer is, how would Vince have booked Christian's cash-in? If Vince was booking, Christian wouldn't have had a contract to begin with. He would have had a blue dot over his face. Alex says, do you think the talks of an all-women's pay-per-view will come to fruition this year? Will it attract a full audience compared to their traditional pay-per-views? I believe it is going to happen. I think July 5th is going to be the date at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. And I think it'll sell well. I think that they will put together a card with the intention of trying to sell as many tickets as they can. So they're going to use a lot of big stars, and they'll use some NXT stars. Maybe even some TNA knockouts. I don't think it'll be the usual Paul Levesque, you know, five-match show. And I think it is going to happen. I think July 5th is the rumored date. I think that's when we're going to get it. BW says, AEW made a joke out of their version of Money in the Bank. Tongaloa Superfan, with the drama with Jade backstage, it really makes us appreciate how there's been zero news about Tongaloa backstage. It's almost as if he was never there. That's a rare quality to have. You know what it is? Tongaloa, he does what he's told, man. You could always rely on him. He's not going to cause trouble. He's not going to politic. He's not going to cause any kind of problems. He's like the perfect model employee. He doesn't really do anything. He's like Kramer in that one episode of Seinfeld when he went to work and his boss sits down with him. He goes, I don't know what this is supposed to be. I'm not even sure what you do here. Tongaloa is the Cosmo Kramer of WWE. Manuel, how long do you think Cody will be the face of WWE? Does him turning 40 soon impact how much longer Triple H will push him as the guy, or will he be fine? I think he's going to be just fine. If he was 45, it's a little bit different. But right now, Cody is as over as he's ever been. There's no reason to think that he's not going to be the face of the company a year from now. BW, that actress last night was bad for AEW, not good. Which actress are you talking about? Are you talking about Leslie in the crowd who was going nuts during the Swerve and the Ricochet match? Or are you talking about the one who exposed the business? Matt Fisher, what do storm clouds wear? Thunder pants. Not your best work. Tongaloa Superfan, what is your favorite dessert? When I used to be able to have it 20 years ago, before I had to stop having ice cream, it used to be an ice cream sundae with wet walnuts and hot fudge. What I wouldn't give to have another one of those. So that used to be my favorite dessert. My favorite dessert now? I don't have dessert that often. I mean, if I have a piece of pie, I like pie. I love pie. Actually, you know what? My favorite dessert is pecan pie. That's my favorite dessert. Face Beer, as Mick Foley once won a world title by escaping the cage. He won a world title by escaping the cage? Did he? The first one? Third one? So the second one. What was his second world title? No, he didn't. Not in WWE, he didn't. Duff's Vids, you hear about the guy who took all day to eat a clock. He said it was very time consuming. Sidro can be Sidro, I'll be Duffs. Thank you for the reviews. It was in TNA? Okay, well, that's why, TNA. Blue Jay says, I got my girl into wrestling. Welcome her, y'all. Well, welcome to Blue... You didn't tell me her name. Well, Blue Jay, tell her I said hello and welcome. She's always welcome to be part of this community here. Just don't expose the business. Bobby Means. At this point, WWE is using the two-night formula to their advantage with PLEs, while AEW doesn't know what the fuck it's doing. Prime Video for AEW, bad call. Why is it a bad call? It's just another way for people to order the show. And if it eventually leads to more of a working relationship with Amazon, that could only be a good thing for AEW. I don't see what's so bad about it. I didn't order the pay-per-view through Prime Video last night. I actually got it through Triller. And it stopped after the first like hour, but like five times in the first hour of the show, there was like a drop signal from Triller. I'm like, Triller, get your shit together. And then after that, it was okay. So I don't know if people on Amazon Prime Video had that same issue. I imagine not. But I don't... I mean, Prime Video being bad for AEW, I don't really understand that. It seems fine to me. Leopoldo. That's exactly what I said about Christian under Vince. He was the ugly one. The only thing Vince would give him is a paper bag to wear over his head. He'd put a paper bag over his head and not cut out any eye slits. He'd think it would be funny. He'd be walking into walls. Casey is Raw. Channel member for 37 months. The 18th will be my 43rd birthday. Well, how about that? Happy birthday. Happy early birthday to Casey. I hope it's a good one. That's next Tuesday, right? That is next Tuesday. BW says the actress that exposed the business live on pay-per-view. Okay, I figured that was who you were talking about. Hey, Damien, wish your mom a happy birthday for me. Nick Grasso, do you think Io Sky will have at least one title defense on television before WrestleMania? Title defense on TV before WrestleMania. I am going to say no. I'm gonna say no. I don't think she will. Well, there you go. Those are your questions. Oh, we got one more here. Bill Mitchell. WWE's endgame with the WCW launch party, preparing for the Peacock departure in March. I mean, that's still a year away, and there's no guarantee they're leaving Peacock. I mean, I saw Mark Shapiro commented on that last week and said it's very possible they'll renew with Peacock. You know, NBC Universal has been a great partner for them. I don't think they know yet what the plan is going to be for their future. I think there's a very good chance they'll leave. Netflix may end up getting everything. I don't know what the method behind the madness is in terms of doing what they're doing now. We had the WWE vault. Now we have the WCW vault. Probably going to end up getting an ECW vault at some point. I love it. The only thing that sucks about it, there's no organization to it. So what they're doing is they're cherry-picking matches and events to just randomly drop on there. It would be better to have everything in one centralized location. Just have everything there and organized in categories, like it was on the network, like it is to an extent now on Peacock. That's still the ideal. The thing about the YouTube stuff that I love, it's very easy for me if I sit down and have breakfast in the morning or I have lunch or whatever, and I've got my phone with me. I mean, I just log in and see what the latest uploads are, and I just start watching stuff. I was watching, they uploaded another Undertaker playlist. They have a whole bunch of them. And they did one for the a few months ago for the original Grey Glove Undertaker from like 1990 to 1992. And then there was a 1992 to 1994 playlist. So now they're up to the 1995 one. And my God, fucking awful 1995 was. Holy shit. Not that I forgot. I mean, again, that was the closest I ever came to just not watching wrestling anymore. It was so fucking boring. But man, I'm watching Undertaker. They got Undertaker on there against IRS. And they got Undertaker against King Kong Bundy, who at that point in 95, like, he couldn't do anything. He was a giant egg with legs in the ring. Okay, he couldn't do anything. And it was just like, man, this is terrible. And so he's wrestling King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania. The whole storyline is around the urn being stolen. And he got the urn back. Here comes Kama, who steals the urn and then melts it into a chain. And that's about where I left off with the playlist. This is definitely the bottom of the barrel when it comes to the Undertaker's career, is this time period. It's fucking awful. My God. It's so bad. This journey called life, I'm going to NXT tomorrow. I know it's going to be fire. Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. Have fun. Demetrius Hodge. After Moxley drops the AEW title to Swerve, I think Tony should seriously push the Kingdom and have Marina Shafir turn on Mox and help her husband win the Trios titles. Brother, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't give a shit about any of the stuff in the second half of your super chat. Like, I have no interest in any of that. I'm totally on board with the first sentence. That's the only thing that matters to me right now. Just get that title away from Moxley, get it on Swerve, and let's move on. The other stuff you mentioned, I couldn't care less. And Base Beerus, congrats Lex Luger, Hall of Fame. He made Hogan submit. He did. And there aren't very many times where you could say that in Hogan's career. But he did. Actually, the most shocking thing was Kurt Angle. He made Hogan tap out as a babyface. I can't think of another example of that in Hogan's entire career. Not one. Where he gave up as a babyface? That's never happened before. Until Kurt Angle did it. That to me is even more shocking. But yeah, Hogan gave up to Luger because he knew he was getting the belt back 5 days later. So he didn't care. So that's why when he lost the match to Piper, Starrcade that year, in the sleeper hold, right? The arm went up once, twice, three times. Piper won. Holy shit, right? Yeah, the title wasn't on the line. It's like, okay. He won the match, but he didn't win the belt. Blue Jay says, say, welcome, Destiny. Enjoy the industry. Well, there you go. Destiny is with us. Welcome, Destiny. I love that name. Chris Ludeck
have the best moveset.
Has the best moveset. But beyond that, he dropped a super chat. 1995 WWF was awful, but they had two of my favorite WWF title matches ever. Bret Hart against Diesel at Survivor Series and Bret Hart against the Bulldog at In Your House. What's the common denominator in those two things? I'm just saying. They did have a great Intercontinental title match as well at SummerSlam. The ladder match with Shawn and Razor. And Shawn and Jeff Jarrett in Nashville at In Your House. That's why Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, man, they led that New Generation era. You take them out, we're not having this stream right now. Like, I'm not a fan anymore. There's no way I would have lasted. If those two were not in the company at the time doing what they were doing, I would have been done. I don't know what I would be doing right now. I'd probably be sleeping, going to some bullshit job in the morning. That's what I would be doing. Like I did for 15 years. That's what I would be doing. Thank you, Bret Hart. Cecil Robinson. Been living in Brooklyn for 20 years. First time at Madison Square Garden tonight. Had a good time. Soon to be first time at Vegas. Might go to SummerSlam this year. Look at you. Look at Cecil making the rounds. See, I feel like the closer we get to next month, I'm going to start having FOMO. I mean, I said for years, man, like I was waiting for them to bring a WrestleMania back to Vegas and back to New Orleans. So now they're in Vegas and I'm going to be here. And I'm going to see everybody flying to Vegas, lounging out at their hotel, lounging out at the pool, their drinks floating in the water. And I'm going to have that FOMO, man. I'm going to have that fear of missing out. Devin from New Jersey, my boy in Buffalo, is adamant that Lex Luger and Sid are the two most overrated wrestlers of all time. Does Solo agree? No. Your boy in Buffalo is a moron, so you could tell him I said that. Matt Fisher, try again. Is there any business left to expose? Probably not. Well, I made the comment during the review last night. I said, boy, you know, this woman just exposed the business. And I said, but it came after the cage match where they did everything under the sun and they kept no selling and kicking out. I mean, they did a fucking Spanish fly off the top of the cage. And the match still went on for a little bit after that. But it wasn't even that. It was the Styles clash on the thumbtacks. And it was just like, on to the next. I'm like, they did a better job of exposing the business in the preceding match than that woman did on the microphone, if we're being perfectly honest. Luis. Kelly Berglund can go screw off for the wrestling business. Please book Kelly Berglund versus Vanessa Hudgens. What? Creflo, don't forget Hogan losing to Brock via bear hug. Yeah, but you know what? Even that, Hogan thought he was going to just come back and beat Brock at the Garden at Survivor Series and get the belt. Right? It was always with some sort of like motive involved. But I feel like he was on his best behavior that year because he had just come back. And so he wanted to show, you know, he could be a team player. He lost to Rock at WrestleMania. And, you know, he tapped out to Kurt Angle. And he did the bear hug loss on TV to Brock. But there had to be something in it for him on the flip side. It's just the idea that he actually would have believed, even then at that age that he would have been at, that he's going to come back and he's going to be the one to hand Brock his first loss and beat him for the belt. Like, that's how delusional he was. Like, I absolutely can believe that that's exactly what his motivations were. Cameron Spencer says, fire Nico Harrison. I don't know who that is. Todd Warner, what made you hang on and not quit watching in 95? I don't know if it was any one thing. It was the early part of 95. It was like February, March, like that time period in 95. That's how close I came. And then we had like one of the worst WrestleManias that followed. So it wasn't WrestleMania. I don't know. I don't know exactly what it was, but whatever it was, I held on. I'm glad I did. Right? We got rewarded a couple years later. Right? 97 into 98, man. That was what long, actually not even 96, the following years where the NWO kicked off. So I'm glad I held on. Whatever it was, I'm glad I did, but I came very close. I was like, man, this shit sucks. This is just not fun anymore, you know? But we persevered. And here we are. All right, well, we are currently at, on the likes, 576 likes. Look at that. Look at that. We might even hit 600. If you guys have the intestinal fortitude to help get me there. I don't know. Is that a challenge? It might be. It might be. Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
I give to you Mr. Perfect with a title belt on his head. Yes, it is Be the Booker time. You will not find this anywhere but here. How do I know this? Because this is my creation. Hence the logo there. Put a lot of hours into this. All right, here we go. We start with the tag team match, and then we graduate to the women's match and the men's match, and we just see what kind of matches we can book. And there are just hundreds of wrestlers to choose from here. You never know exactly who it's going to land on. But we've got Kane and we've got Daniel Bryan. Team Hell No is kicking us off here. Team Hell No, the former Raw Tag Team Champions. And they're going to be taking on the former tag team champions in Billy and Chuck. And while I did enjoy the Billy and Chuck wedding payoff, that segment was an all-timer. I'm giving this the buzz. I'm not giving this the bell. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. Not going to happen. Women's match. We have the man. I thought we were doing women's Be the Booker. We have the man, Becky Lynch. Look at this. Becky, two belts. Now we have Mercedes, four belts. She's coming a hog on Saturday. Becky, two belts is going to be taking on Mae Young. I'm going with Mae Young in this match. I think Mae Young is going to shoot on her, and Mae Young is going to just fuck this woman up. It's going to be Mae Two Belts. We're going to get Mae Two Belts coming out of this match. This woman is tough as nails. Time for the main event. Time for the main event. I sound like Mark Henry now. It's time for the main event. Christian Cage says, "Your father is dead." Spin again. Well, that may be true, but so are your hopes of ever being world champion. So fuck you. So we'll spin again. Yokozuna, the two-time WWF champion, is kicking us off. He is one half. I mean, realistically, more than one half, but he's one half of the main event here. The bloodline lives on, man. You can't escape this bloodline. Just can't do it. Yokozuna against CM Punk. Now, if we're talking Yoko before he just got completely, just morbidly obese and really couldn't do much of anything, we're talking like 93 or even 94, early 94 Yokozuna. That Yokozuna against CM Punk, that would have been, I think, a really good match. I always wonder, man, if he just took care of himself and he didn't allow himself, like his weight to just spiral out of control the way that it did. Man, like, I'm talking like Kokina, like early fucking Yokozuna, man. The way he would move around that ring, if you had that version of Yoko, like in the late 90s, or even in like the Ruthless Aggression era, I mean, look at the success that Umaga had many years later. Think about what Yoko could have done. Demetrius Hodge, if Keith Lee was healthy enough to return, do you think that he would be a good first challenger for Swerve after he wins the AEW title? I don't. Because you would have to build it up. I mean, his first challenger, if he's going to win the title at Dynasty, then his first challenger would be a double or nothing. For Keith Lee to just show up and he's the first challenger, to me that just doesn't make any sense. I know there's a history there, but you gotta ease him back into things. You gotta build him up. So as a first challenger, no. I actually think that Bobby Lashley would make more sense. Even though he's one half of the tag team champions, Bobby Lashley beat Swerve. So if Swerve wins the championship, there it is. You got a ready-made story. I beat you already. I deserve the first shot. And now Swerve has to beat Lashley and get his win back. You do Lashley and Swerve. That would actually make more sense. And I'm not even saying that's the match I would do. I think that there are probably better options for the main event at Double or Nothing. But it would make more sense than just putting Keith Lee in that spot. And Luis, is Eddie Guerrero 2004 in Be the Booker? Eddie Guerrero is in Be the Booker. I don't know if it's 2004. Like, that's oddly specific. I guess that's the year he won the title. I think so. I don't know offhand. I think it is, but I don't know. He's in there though. I mean, it's if it's not 2004, it's somewhere in that range. It's not like I have a sonogram picture of, you know, Eddie in the womb, and that's the version, like womb Eddie. It's definitely a mature adult version of Eddie Guerrero in Be the Booker. Plot twist. Patricia never left. She revealed as Sidro. Man, that would be more shocking than John Cena's heel turn. Mullet Eddie is my favorite Eddie. I mean, you want to see Eddie Guerrero at his physical peak in the ring, that you're going with Mullet Eddie from the late 90s. Not that Eddie was a bad performer in 2004, 2005. He put on too much bulk for his size. It was too much. It's part of the reason why he died. Put too much stress on his heart. But you give me the Eddie that wrestled Rey Mysterio at Halloween Havoc. I mean, to me, that's, as far as physical peak, that's, I think, peak Eddie right there. And Corey Blake. Hey, Solid Monster, today is my 39th birthday. Appreciate the work you do. Wanted to ask, instead of Hogan versus Brett at SummerSlam 93, what about Savage against Brett? It's a shame we never got a program between those two. At SummerSlam, no. You should. What they should have done is Brett and Savage at WrestleMania 9. With Brett winning and Savage doing his own little passing of the torch. Because Savage had just won the world title at WrestleMania the year before. So him going in there and losing to Brett in a good match would have meant far more to Brett than him going in there and beating, honestly, almost anybody else on the roster at that time. So, no, I would have done Brett and Savage, if anything, at WrestleMania 9. Ian says, Yoko against Punk. Promos between Heyman and Cornette. Oh, you know, I hadn't even thought of that. Well, I mean, if we're going with the early version of Yoko, who didn't really speak, he just said Banzai. Yeah, Heyman and Cornette on the mic. How about that? Did Bret Hart ever face the Ultimate Warrior in a match? No. No. There were rumors that that might have been the plan for the Royal Rumble in 93. I don't know if I believe that. I think Brett maybe in his book says that that's what he was told. That might have been what he was told, but it's just hard for me to imagine that match honestly ever happening. Or if it was going to happen, doing it at the Royal Rumble instead of saving it for WrestleMania. I mean, it didn't matter anyway because, you know, he got fired 2 months before. So we'll never know. But that was the rumor, that it might have been Brett and Warrior, and we ended up with Brett and Razor. And it, you know, in a way, it kind of makes sense because now Razor was in, you know, not the main event, but he was in one of the feature matches at Survivor Series. He tagged with Ric Flair. But Razor was still pretty new. So him getting a title match that quickly was kind of surprising, I guess. I could see that maybe being the fallback for what would have been Brett and Warrior, but man, what would that have looked like? Like, that just seems like such a mismatch to me. I just can't imagine that. I definitely can't imagine the Warrior jobbing to Brett. Like, there's no fucking way. There's just no way. There's no way. But yeah, I think Brett does mention that in his book. No. I thought I was going to get away without that. Bree mode has been unlocked, and it was unlocked by M. Mills. Always showing love. Thank you, M. Mills. And Nick Grosso as well. Thank you for the $20 super chat. Actually, you know what? I just noticed. From Nick and then M. Mills, we just hit our super chat goal. Look at that, guys. We just hit the goal. So you guys just unlocked a second round of Be the Booker. Look at that. You just kind of snuck in there. Like Roman tonight, sneaking into the match there and dragging Seth out of the cage. Just snuck right in there. Look at that. You just right behind my back. Unbelievable. Well, if that's the case, then I guess we have to do some Be the Booker right now, don't we? So, let's get to it.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get to it. It is now time to Be the Booker.
Round number two. I didn't think we were going to get it, but you guys just unlocked it. Oh, actually, well, this being the second round, we have to do stipulations. I was not stalling. I legitimately was not stalling. I was actually about to leave. I completely forgot about that. Let's do stipulations. We usually do stips if we unlock a second round. Spice it up a little bit. Okay. Tag team stretcher match doesn't really make sense, so we'll make this the women's match. So the women's match is what we're going to start with, and this is going to be a stretcher match. I don't think we've ever had a women's stretcher match before. This is a first. We are booking a first. And we have Rhea Ripley, the former women's world champion, is going to be in this stretcher match. She is one half of this stretcher match. The other half, who's it going to be? It's going to be Saraya against Rhea Ripley in a stretcher match. It's an interesting attraction. Don't know what to expect these days from Saraya. I haven't seen her wrestle in a while. But I kind of feel like those two, I think they would have a good match. I do. Look, I think Saraya is probably going to end up back in WWE. So that actually, without the stipulation, that actually is a match that we may be seeing in the next couple of years. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if we do. All right, tag team match. Ooh, look at this. One of the new ones. Grave Consequences. This was the Lucha Underground version of a casket match. It is still the greatest casket match that I have ever seen. Between that man on top of the casket, Mil Muertes, and that man laying on the ground is Rey Fénix. Tag team Grave Consequences match. So I guess in this match, you've got to stuff both opponents in two different caskets, or maybe you stack them up one on top of each other in the one casket. I don't know. This has never been done before. We have the Rhodes brothers, Cody and Goldust. Cody Rhodes in a Grave Consequences match. Against Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Cody and Dustin Rhodes against Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And you throw in Grave Consequences? I mean, that could be the main event. That would be my main event of the show, is what that would be. It's not a middle of the card match. But we do have one match. We have a main event left to book, so I guess we better get to it. Man, that could be a main event all on its own. Holy shit. All right, here's the stipulation for the main event. It is going to be... Oh, no. It's going to be the APA Invitational. That's the Easter Bunny, by the way. Poor Easter Bunny is getting his ass kicked. The APA Invitational. So basically, this is just a wild barroom-type brawl in a makeshift bar in the back of the arena. That's what this is. If you didn't see the APA Invitational from 2000, right? Probably the year 2000. APA Invitational. Oh, the perfect stipulation for this guy. Mr. Bob Backlund. Mr. Backlund in an APA Invitational? Against Terry Funk. Bob Backlund and Terry Funk. You talk about middle-aged and crazy. You throw them in a barroom-type brawl match? See, I was ready to hit the buzzer, but once I saw Terry Funk, I said, you know what? If anybody can make that kind of match work, if that's right up anybody's alley, it's Terry Funk. Oh, hell yeah. That works for me. You know, on the WWE Vault channel a couple weeks ago, they posted a 4-hour Terry Funk mixtape. I haven't watched it yet, but it's on my playlist of things to get to. M. Mills, thank you again for helping us get to that bonus Be the Booker. Matt Fisher says, hey, Sean. Don't know who that is, but thank you, Matt. David Thiering, there he is. 10 months of channel membership for David. Says, I just wanted to get a quick mention in before I forget. Best of luck at Hog this weekend, Commissioner, with the CEO. See you on TNT tomorrow. Yes, we have the TBS champion is coming to House of Glory. Mercedes Moné off of her win against Momo Watanabe last night, where she got kicked in the fucking face. Hopefully she's okay. So yeah, she's coming in this weekend. Danhausen is going to be there. It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a fun time. And Demetrius Hodge, before Saraya leaves AEW, you got to do her against Mercedes. I don't even know what her contract status is. Is she still there? I don't even know if she's still there anymore. I think she is. And Leopoldo. Based Beerus made me bust up laughing with that Psycho Sidro bit for some reason. Maybe it's because I can see Sid telling dad jokes in his awkward promos. It just works so well. That's what I'm going to call him from now on if he ever shows up again. Psycho Sidro. And Base Beerus, thank you for the gifted membership. Everybody who has gifted memberships over the past week, I thank you for that. All right, so the next time I'm going to be live with you is going to be Wednesday night on this channel for the Dynamite post show. That'll be the first Dynamite coming out of Revolution. Then we have SmackDown coming up on Friday night. Tomorrow night, I'll be over on JD's channel for Tuesday Night Titans, so that is where you can find me. And then this weekend, House of Glory, City of Dreams. If you can't make it to the building, we're going to be streaming live on Triller TV Plus. We have Mercedes Moné. We have Indy Hartwell. We have Private Party. We have Danhausen. We have a lot of HOG talent as well that bust their asses and are very likely one day going to be on your TV somewhere. So definitely check that show out. I'll be there on commentary. And if you missed it, over 2 hours of episode 904 of the full Solid Monster Sounds Off podcast went up on Sunday, so make sure you check that out. Eminem says, I can see Solid Monster doing the Mercedes dance. I don't think so. I did do the Swerve dance once when we had Swerve and Nana, and I did the dance in between them. The CEO dance, though, I'm afraid I would butcher it. But we'll see. You never know. All right, be well. Stay safe. Hit that like button if you would on your way out. And I will see you back here on this channel live on Wednesday night after AEW Dynamite. Until then, take care, guys.